The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2016 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2016. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at accsedu.org.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:1-5. Why is Jesus called the Word? He is the communication of God to humanity. Jesus revealed to the world the Word of God. Jesus was the personification of the written and spoken Word. In the Old Testament, God revealed his Word through the prophets, while in the New Testament, the Word of God was revealed in a person, God the Son. Therefore, today, when we speak about words, specifically about reading words, I'd like us all to keep in mind the gravity of our topic. Words have power. God used words to speak the entire world into existence. The words we use can either build up relationships or destroy them. The words we read can physically alter our thinking patterns. The words we use can have an eternal impact. And we, as reading teachers, have the great honor and responsibility to teach our students how to decipher the written code, how to read words for the greater purpose of ultimately helping them to get to know the Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is quite humbling to be in the position of teaching a little child how to read. Lord, our desire is for our students to be good readers so that they may come to read your Word, and in so doing, they might come to know you and love you. Please, Lord, help us as teachers to know how to teach our students how to read well. May we honor you with this great privilege and responsibility, and it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to a kindergarten through second grade workshop on teaching reading effectively. My name is Brooke Velp, and I have been a classroom teacher for 18 years. I've taught at Rockbridge Academy for the past 11 years. I've also taught in the public school system and homeschooled my daughter for 4 years as well. I've been married to my husband, Bill, for 24 years, and we have two beautiful children, although I'm not biased. My daughter, Corinne, is 21, and she's a senior at Liberty University and also a graduate of Rockbridge Academy. And my daughter, Jacob, will be turning 16 soon. He just got his driver's license or his permit. Please pray for me. And he will be entering the 11th grade at Rockbridge. And I just want to say I am so thankful to God for guiding my family to Rockbridge Academy, where my children have learned how to have a distinctly biblical worldview, and they have been taught have an excellent classical education. But let's go ahead and get started. If you ask a new parent if you think their child will learn to walk, they will, of course, say, "My child will learn to walk." But if you ask a new parent if they think their child will learn to read, sometimes a look of concern comes across their face. I believe this uncertainty is due in part to the massive changes we have seen in reading curriculums and programs over the last 50 years. The public school system in which I taught for 7 years, was in a continuous state of flux with regards to their reading program, with publishers continuously trying to sell them the latest and greatest reading program. Things were always changing. Teachers spent precious time trying to learn the new terminology and new systems to teach children to learn to read. What I didn't know then, because I was not a Christian and I did not hold a biblical worldview, is that God is a God of order. Successful reading programs need order and structure, a back-to-the-basics approach. The reading program does not need constant change. It simply needs to be constant. Phonics is essential, but new systems and new terminologies are not needed. Of course, teachers can and should continuously strive to make the curriculum better. Teachers should ask themselves the following questions in regards to their lesson plans. Is the biblical worldview clearly revealed? Are classical methodologies being utilized, capitalizing on the grammar school students' God-given abilities for observation and memorization? Does the lesson plan incorporate all of the seven laws? And are the students actively engaged and working hard for the maximum amount of time throughout the lesson? Well, today is my hope to present to you an orderly and systematic program of phonics instruction and reading comprehension for kindergarten through second grade. And I hope you leave with a picture in your mind of a typical day in kindergarten, first and second grade reading classes. I'm also hoping that you'll take home with you some practical hands-on knowledge and tools to implement in your classrooms that will help your students learn to read and love to read. So, since it is essential that reading be taught systematically, there should be objectives of skills for reading. And Rockbridge Academy saw this need and has constructed a scope and sequence of reading skills for each grade level. The scope and sequence ensures that all the reading skills will be instructed and at the appropriate grade level. The scope and sequence objectives all fall under particular categories. And I want you to think about teaching reading as a big tree, and there are branches. And the 10 essential elements are the branches under which these objectives will fall. And you have these listed in your packet on the first page. And so these would be the 10 essential elements for teaching reading effectively. Again, your objectives should fall under each of these categories. Okay? All right, this list may look a little overwhelming, but your administrator should provide you with a scope and sequence, and your scope and sequence should have detailed objectives that cover each of these essential elements. If you don't have this, or if you would like to see Rockbridge Academy's structure of the scope and sequence and how to teach reading, some crash commercialism here, it's being sold in the vendor hallway. Okay. So each year, the program should systematically include a review from the previous year's skills and an introduction of the next skill, each skill building on the next. So now we're going to take a look at the implementation. How do we implement these 10 essential reading elements in each classroom, in each grade, kindergarten, first, and second grade? But before we do, I want to take a quick look at what should have been developing in your students before they reach kindergarten, and that is phonemic awareness. When students enter kindergarten, they have been listening to sounds and acquiring language for about 5 years, and the average 5-year-old knows about 5,000 words. At this stage of their life, they have begun to develop phonemic awareness. Phonemic awareness deals with sounds in spoken words. It's hearing and identifying and manipulating sounds or phonemes. A phoneme would be the smallest unit of sound. For example, p is a phoneme. Sh is a phoneme. It's the smallest unit of sound. And students entering kindergarten should have a good deal of phonemic awareness. And they should be ready to enter the next stage of learning to read, which is phonics. So for you young mothers out there, they have young boys and they're making those sounds with the cars and the airplanes. They go, that's really important. So let them do that. They're developing phonemic awareness. So let's talk about phonics. Phonics is recognizing the relationship between sounds and letters or groups of letters. If you have students that are really struggling when they enter kindergarten, there are oral phonemic awareness activities that you can find online. Let me give you an example. These exercises are purely oral in nature. So I would like you to tell me and answer back, what word am I saying? Hip, po, pot, mus. Right. How about this one? Wuh, indo. Okay, exactly. Those are phonemic awareness activities. And like I said, you can find those online. Also, books like Chicka Chicka Boom Boom and Moo Ba La La La. Those are also, they have wonderful sounds and rhymes that the children like to imitate as well. Okay, so let's take a look then at Kindergarten Reading Foundations. The kindergarten teacher begins by giving the students a name for each letter, the ABCs. They should learn to recognize the written letter A with the name A, recognizing the names of all 26 capital and lowercase letters. And at the same time, students begin to match the letters with their corresponding sounds. In kindergarten at Rockbridge, the students learn the sounds through the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write program. They sing a song called the A to Z phonics song. And while the teacher points to each letter, the students sing the song, apple, ball. And students learn the consonant sounds and the short vowel sounds. And next, the students begin to learn the special sounds. That would be your consonant blends, your long vowels, digraphs, and diphthongs. And again, they use the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write song. Songs, and one in particular called the Ferris Wheel song. And the Ferris Wheel is a poster of a Ferris wheel, and it has carts, and on each of the cart is a short vowel. And the students are so excited, they get a ticket to ride the Ferris wheel, and their ticket is a consonant. So they match their consonant with the vowels, and they ride the Ferris wheel. And in such a way, they learn to blend letters together. There are multiple other Sing, Spell, Read, and Write songs that the kindergartners use, including one to learn their long vowels. There's another song about the silent E and when two vowels get together. Of course, learning their phonics rules to song fits the developmental stage of kindergartners and the classical methodology. They do not forget what they've learned in a song. Now, some programs lack the opportunity to practice these newly learned skills, and this results in poor understanding. So at Rockbridge, kindergartners practice their phonics through dictation, race reading, seat work, and word lists. So let's go ahead and talk first about dictation. You see, students need to apply what they have learned in written form. This is one of the seven laws of teaching. The student must reproduce what is learned in his own mind. And this is exactly what happens with dictation. They begin to write the sounds they hear. Dictation begins within the first week of kindergarten. The teacher says, write the letter that makes the sound t. Oh, we lost it here. Oh, there we go. And the students write the letter T. And then by the end of the fourth week, students are writing the entire word sat. And when the students complete a dictation exercise, this is really a multi-sensory approach. They see the phonics cards at the front of the room. They hear the words spoken by the teacher. The child says the word back, and then they write the word. The senses are all working together, and thus the child learns to string letters together to form words. Dictation is a daily exercise in kindergarten, first, and second grade. And I have included in your packet some directions on how to run a dictation exercise in your classroom, but I'd like you, if you don't mind, just take a look at that a little later. All right. Oh, God is here. In the fall of kindergarten, students at Rockbridge, are you still with me here? Students at Rockbridge write the entire sentence, the red hen met Ben. That's in the fall of kindergarten. You can hear the short E in that sentence. They also write that sentence with proper capitalization and punctuation. And then at the end of the year, students write a sentence like this one. Much black smoke came from the fast train. Writing a sentence is proof that they understand what has been instructed. All kindergarten students can write these sentences. And dictation is 75% of the reading grade. The other 25% is made up of race reading and seat work. So let's go ahead and talk about race reading. Race reading helps build fluency. A parent volunteer or the kindergarten assistant will pull a child to the hall or to the side of the classroom and set a timer. They want to see how many words the student can read in 1 minute. The goal is to have students read 35 words in a minute. Some get up to 70 words in a minute. And these words are taken out of the Victory Drill book. Most students really enjoy just the challenge of trying to beat their own record. And this race reading is done twice a week. Okay, so I have a video clip here of a kindergarten classroom. Let's hope this works. Not a good time. Can we turn the lights out for the video? Technological difficulty. The student of the week is really tiny, so it's very cute to watch him try to read. Start right here, and we're going to go straight down, and then we're going to come up here and go down. All right, ready? On your mark, get set, go.
Rip, hit, rip, hit, rip, jump, rip, rib, lift, rib, rib, lift, lift, set, ham, lift, ham.
Okay. So by first grade, the students can identify the names of all 26 capital and lowercase letters, and have been introduced to and practiced extensively 74 phonemic spellings that they learned in kindergarten. 74. And believe it or not, the first grade teachers review these 74 and add on 53 more. So at this point, let's take a look in your packet, please, at the phonics cards. That's this page, if you can see this. The phonics cards in the first grade classroom are posted at the front of the room. It's bordered here in blue. I would suggest you not laminate them because it creates a glare. And if you're sitting in certain places in the classroom, there's always one phonics card. You can't see if they're laminated. But they're placed in such a prominent location so the students can see them all day, every day. By the end of January, we've actually taught each one of these phonics cards. And that's when we begin our literature unit. But phonics is not over. We actually go through and teach the phonics cards again. And it's deliberately integrated into the first grade literature program. So that, again, the phonics are reviewed twice throughout the year. The students review all these sounds and spellings every day with phonics card recitation and dictation. So let me give you an example. Here's the long E card. The teacher says sound, and the class says E. The teacher says spellings, and the class recites the card and says E mark, E, E blank E, E A, blank Y, blank I, E blank. Now we stress, this is the sound, E, and this is all the ways to spell that sound. E mark, E, E blank, E, A blank, Y, etc. And then this long E, we spend an entire week studying the long E sound and all of the different spellings. And we practice this through, again, daily dictation, stories, word lists, and blending. And so let's talk about blending for a second. Blending is really the Orton-Gillingham approach, if you've heard of that. And blending is done on the front board. For example, if we're working on the TH sound that week, we might look at a word like this. I would write the letter P on the board and say sound, and the class would say. And then I would write the A, and I would say sound, and the class would say ah. Blend. Good. And then I would write the TH together, and the class, I would say sound, and then blend. Exactly. And again, they're seeing the letters and all the sounds coming together to make words. So we're practicing reading every day. Besides blending, this particular phonics spelling is also paired with word lists and stories. Might look like this. Here's a worksheet. We have words at the top. Practicing that TH spelling and sentences that also have lots of words with the TH. Each student in the classroom, we might do this in a round robin fashion, each student would have an opportunity to read a word and also a sentence. Now, I would have all the students participating. So if it were my turn to read a word, I would say, underline the TH and the word is path. And then we'd go to the next student, and they would say, underline the TH. So all the students are working, they all have their pencils up, and they're all focusing in on where they should be. I would do the same thing with the sentence. When one child is reading the sentence, everyone else has their pencil ready, and they're underlining the exact word they're saying. And of course, we have those that want to underline them all before the student is finished, but I'm very meticulous about make sure you are on the exact word they're reading. Slow. They might go slow. You need to go slow. They might go fast. You need to go fast. So they're all participating. Okay. There's also stories. They all read a story. This particular story is focusing on the QU sound. So you can see lots of QU words in there. Quinn, quack, quick. And then again, there's daily dictation. Again, dictation is key to practicing the new phonics skill and to assess understanding. If the student were asked to write the word teeth, like in number one here, they may ask a question using the phonics cards. Their question may sound like this. Mrs. Velp, in the word teeth, is the E sound spelled? E, E, E mark, E, blank E, E, A, blank Y, or blank I, E, blank. So they're looking at the phonics card. They don't know how to spell the E sound. There's all these options. And so I would say, oh, great question. In the word teeth, the E sound is spelled E-E. Okay? And also, I just so you know, I would always use a laser pointer and point to the phonics card as they're saying it. And they have to give me all the options when they ask the question. Okay? They should already know the T sound from kindergarten. So they won't have to ask me that one, but they can ask me the E sound. They can also ask me the TH sound, although I say, when I point to the TH phonics card, they might say, Mrs. Zelp, in the word teeth is the sound spelled TH. They can ask me that because it's on the phonics card, and I say, yes, it always is. All right. But you can see that there's a lot of review. Another part of Gregory's seven laws of teaching. Every thoughtful application involves a useful and effective review. This is the finishing and fastening process. It's the fastening process of the material that's been taught, the knowledge that's been communicated. And then after 4 months of this systematic phonics instruction, first graders are ready to begin reading good literature. That would be your books that reflect goodness, truth, and beauty. And this is where we integrate our essential reading elements. So on that list at the very beginning, all those branches, we're going to now look at the other objectives. Kindergarten focused on letter recognition and phonics. First grade, we picked up the phonics. Now, numbers 3 through 10, all of these different elements are going to be incorporated into your literature lesson plans. All right. Two essential elements that are particularly focused upon in first grade are oral reading and comprehension. So let's go ahead and start with oral reading skills. The teacher does a great deal of modeling for the students on how to read precisely. That is, they are taught not to skip or insert words. They are taught to pronounce words correctly, reading each letter all the way through the word, not merely looking at that beginning of the word and taking a guess. Now, sometimes the students, the teacher will read a passage, and the students will be allowed to give me a thumbs down if I read the passage incorrectly. And, of course, they love to raise their hand and say, oh, Mrs. Belp, you forgot the word the, right? And so they begin listening for their teacher to read precisely, and then they start listening for themselves. They start to listen. Are they reading precisely? Okay. Secondly, the students are taught how to read fluently. They are taught not to repeat words, not to have long pauses, or make the reading sound choppy. Now, sometimes as we read, we have competitions for reading precisely or for reading fluently. The students know that they are to be meticulous, is what we say. Fluency would be, and when I make them do the shoulder roll, I tell them they need to be smooth. Of course, they love that. And I call on students to read using their popsicle sticks. If you don't have this, I just highly encourage you to get a little cup, put popsicle sticks in there with each student's name. And I usually use this to ensure that I've called on all the students during a lesson. But if we're going to play the meticulous game, again, I'm training them how to read precisely, I would pull a popsicle stick as we're round-robin reading. I'll call on them to read. If they have read meticulously or precisely, their popsicle stick goes in on one side of my podium. And at the end, all those students that read meticulously can stand, and everyone else knows to say, good job, and we encourage them. And in that way, they look for their own precise reading. They start to understand they need to read precisely. Okay? You could also do this with fluency, but I have found that works at the more towards the end of second grade, so you can play the smooth game as well. But training them to be fluent, I might read a sentence that sounds like this. One day, little Sal went with her mother. You get the gist. And they say, and then I will ask them, was that smooth? No way. And then I will model for them. One day, little Sal went with her mother to pick blueberries. they're much more satisfied with that. Again, by the end of second grade, you could certainly play the smooth game the same way with the popsicle sticks. Let's talk about oral reading assessments. You have one of these in your packet as well. If you want to take a look at a first grade oral reading assessment, this is a teacher paper. The students would actually have the passage here, the helpful mule, in much larger print, only the story in front of them. Okay, so this is just my grading tool. But during independent work time, I would meet individually with a student, either in the hallway or far enough away from the other students so that they cannot hear what's being read. I would have them read this passage to me, and this evaluation is just really necessary for the grade book. A student may be doing very well with seat work and vocabulary and dictation, but they might really be struggling with the independence of oral reading. His fluency or precision might not be up to par. Or perhaps they're a strong reader, but they continually gloss over words and they're not reading precisely. Well, this oral reading assessment gives the teacher and the parent a true reflection of their reading ability. It also helps you to specifically identify errors they're making so that you can encourage them and correct them. It's very important that your oral reading assessments make up a large portion of your reading report card grade. Otherwise, there's really no indication that there might be a problem. At Rockbridge, oral reading assessments make up 50% of the reading report card grade in first grade. So next, we need to make sure that our students are understanding what they read. Students are asked oral comprehension questions throughout the story and after the story is read. And then students are asked to find the answer in the text. And this is really emphasized. They can't just recall it. I'm happy if they do. But we want them to find it in the text. And we call this skim and scan. So, for example, I might say fingers up. And they all put their finger up, and they're holding the book with their other hand, and I might ask the question, on page 53, tell me, what does Frog want to make? And so all the students at this point, I say, skim and scan, and they get their fingers down, and they learn to skim and scan through their page. Now, this is first grade. There's not that much text, but what a great place for them to learn how to scan the text. And so then they found the answer in the text and their finger stops. And they know they have to stay right like that because Mrs. Velp is coming around and I'm going to check every single person, not just one. Every student in the classroom needs to find that answer. And once they have all found the answer, then I will call on one to give me the answer in a complete sentence. Make sure everyone is working hard. We are training leaders for Christ. They work hard. They are not lazy. Even reading builds godly character in your students. All students should be engaged in finding the answer. Again, not just one. Students should all be pointing to the answer in the text. Okay, and then I would have a student say, Frog wants to make a garden. And we would move on. Besides the skim and scan and asking those oral reading comprehension questions as you're reading or after you've read, you also want your students to begin in first grade answering written comprehension questions. And in first grade, these questions should be literal in nature. That would be your who, what, where, and when questions, not your why questions. You can certainly ask the why questions, but they're not ready to write the answer down to why questions. Okay. Let's take a look at a first grade written comprehension question sheet. They're first taught to rephrase the question. Hopefully you can see up here, they're taught to cross out the question word. We have a little phrase that we say over and over. We say, use as many words from the question as possible. We say that over and over. They know. And so they begin the process of rephrasing the question right on the white paper. They're taught that the answer may sound the best at the beginning, the middle, or the end of the sentence. And you can see on number 3, the student has decided, they have a blank there. They've decided they're going to write the answer that sounds the best at the beginning. For numbers 1 and 2, they've decided this answer will sound the best at the end. We decided not to do number 4 here. I'm not sure why, but... And you can also see for number 1, they've made a capital T because that student says, I'm going to start my sentence here. I'm going to write, the title of this story is, and then the blank. And you might be able to see that there's 2 underlines there because they have been taught that they underline the title. And this student actually even wrote in there to put the period at the end. It's a little hard to see here, but they have a period here as well. They're going to put a period at the end of their sentence. So before they even begin to write the actual answers, they have it all laid out here. All they have to do now is find the answers in the text, which we've really practiced, right? With the skim and scan method. Okay? All right. So here's the answers. You can see the students have answered in a complete sentence. You might notice at the top of the paper, the students are graded on their content, 10 points for each question. There's 10 points for numbers 1, 2, and 3. So this student had a 30 out of 30. And then they also receive a grade for spelling and mechanics. And that would be 10%. So in this case, it's 3.0 is the spelling and mechanics grade here. And this student got 3 out of 3. There is a point in there. And got an A+ for spelling and mechanics. Okay. The spelling and mechanics grade includes spelling, capitalization, punctuation, handwriting, proper spacing, and the setup of the paper. And we tell them, I will ask them, well, how do I grade handwriting? Mrs. Belp, you grade every single letter. I've instructed them how to form these letters. My expectation is they'll form them correctly. They know how, right? And so they lose minus 0.1 off the spelling and mechanics grade if the letter is formed incorrectly. And in first grade, it is quite common for, no offense, but sometimes the boys, to fail the first couple spelling and mechanics grade until they realize where that bar is set. And you would be amazed as to how quickly they get on their game and are forming those letters correctly. You can really tell at that point, is this a fine motor issue or is this a character issue? And 9 times out of 10, it's a character issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the spelling and mechanics evaluation shows application and it helps them to pay attention to the details. And it is reflected in the spelling portion of the grade. And if you're interested in learning how to grade this further, I'm happy to meet with you at lunch or right after this talk. Okay? But I would encourage you, please don't settle for only using filling in the blanks. Fill in the blanks has its place. I love fill in the blanks. It's easy to grade, right? But please don't settle for that. We are training these students to be able to stand before King someday, right? What Mr. Whitling was talking about, right? They need to be able to write well. And I know this is a lot of information, so just as in the kindergarten, I'm going to show you a little first grade clip as well.
All right, ready? Boys and girls, let's do some blending. Here we go. Sound. Sound. Blend. Good job. Sound. Sound. Blend.
Sound.
Blend. Sound. Blend. Very nice. Let's try this one. Sound. Sound. Blend. Sound. Blend. Very nice. The word is boy.
Boy.
That young boy is my brother. Boy. Clara.
This is love. And the word.
Nice and round, Clara.
This is love. And the word boy is the oi sound. So, O-I.
Great question, Clara. In the word boy, the oi sound is spelled blank O-Y.
Boy.
Number two is the word toil.
Toil.
Toil means to work hard. Toil. Rowan.
In the word toil is the oi sound spelled.
Great question. In the word toil, the oi sound is spelled O-I blank. Toil. Number three. Feather.
Feather.
Olivia had a feather in her desk. Feather. Izzy.
This is the, and the word feather is the sound the F or TH.
Great question, Izzy. In the word feather, the sound is spelled with an F. Lucy.
This is the, and the word feather is the S sound, so eker or eaker.
Great question. In the word feather, the S sound is spelled E-A-ker. E-A-ker. Linus.
Sound spelled T-H.
Yes, it is. In the word feather, the V sound is spelled T-H. Kayla.
This is in the word feather is the er sound spelled E-R, I-R, or U-R.
In the word feather, the er sound is spelled E-R. Did you notice I just spelled the whole word for you? If you were being a good listener, you should have that whole word correct. Other hand, Linda. Thank you. On page 6, how did Father carry Frances to her room? Skim and scan. Nice and loud. Lucy.
Father carried her piggyback to her room.
Very nice. Good job, Lucy.
Okay, hopefully that was helpful to you to be able to see that. Let's move on then to second grade reading foundations. Phonics continues in second grade. The second grade teachers review all the kindergarten and first grade phonemic sounds, and they add on 6 more. They again focus on a particular phonics sound with the accompanying spellings. They have daily phonics card recitations and daily dictations, just like in kindergarten and first grade. The weekly spelling test reflects the phonics spellings reviewed for the week, and now there is also a weekly phonics assessment. And all formal phonics instruction in second grade comes during the spelling portion of the day. Dictation at this point is really ramped up a bit. Second grade students are developmentally ready to begin to apply reasoning to their spelling. And the goal in second grade is to understand when and why certain spellings are used. For example, if I were to ask a second grader to write the word eternal, their question would sound a little different. They would know, hopefully, the goal is that this, at the top of the card, this is an initial spelling. It comes at the beginning of words. The sounds in the middle, well, those are your medial spellings. And at the end of the card, frequently, those are your ending spellings. And so their question, let's say they were asked to write the word sheep. Their question would be different. Instead of including all the spellings in their question would sound more like this. Mrs. Velp, in the word sheep, is the E sound spelled E-E, E-blank-E, or E-A? They would not include the E mark or these ending spellings, okay? Let's talk about the phonics test. On Fridays, after or before the spelling test, the students in second grade take a phonics test. And at the end of week one, they learn their short vowels. And so on the first Friday, they have to write in all the short vowels, A curve, E curve, I curve, O curve, U curve. And then week two, they have to go back and write in the short vowels that they learned in week one, and then they write in all the long E spellings that they learned in week two. I think it's long E, yes. And so it constantly builds upon itself so that at the end of the year, they're actually writing all those phonemic spellings. Now, if you remember, they're at the front of the room. And so what the second graders have to do is when they take this test, they learn to quickly turn their desks around and face the opposite direction. Okay? So it builds throughout the year. And then by the end of the year, students are writing in all 76 phonemic spellings. And literature units in second grade begin on day one. And again, this is where those essential elements, numbers 3 through 10, are covered in the daily reading lesson plans. So let's take a look now at a typical second grade reading lesson plan. You have this in your packets. I want you to notice the bold words on your lesson plan. You can see next to the objective, there's bold words next to where it says review, next to where it says lesson. Those are Gregory's seven laws. And in this way, when we're writing a lesson plan, we are being very careful to include all of Gregory's seven laws. And the 10 essential elements are covered throughout this 1.5 hour lesson. So if I were teaching this lesson, I'd begin with my introduction portion. Have you ever seen a bear? Well, you can imagine the second graders. They are ready to tell me about that bear they saw, whether it was in the zoo or in the wild, or maybe it was on TV. They are ready and they are engaged. Your review question. We want to continually use the biblical worldview. We want to talk to them. Why does God want us to be able to read? Right? Does God want us to be able to read? Why? Well, God wants us to be readers because He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. And one of the best ways we can get to know God is by reading the Bible. Okay? And then we begin reading The Biggest Bear. The biblical worldview is constantly utilized. And I'll get to that in a minute. But you can see all the other objectives are falling into place through the reading lesson here. You have is it fiction or nonfiction? Title page, author, illustrator. All those branches are covered with the specific objectives from your scope and sequence. Okay? If you take a look at the second page of this reading lesson plan and you go down to where it says page 4, one of the questions as we're reading through the text is Johnny coveting? What is coveting? And what does God's word have to say about coveting? Well, yes, Johnny's coveting. He wants a bearskin on his barn like everyone else. That's what he's desiring, okay? So, again, applying God's word to what we're reading. Let's look at this character. And again, the essential elements are covered over and over in the daily lesson plans. Kindergarten and first grade objectives are covered, are reviewed in a second grade lesson plan. And the second grade objectives are taught and reviewed. Okay. Now, although this particular lesson plan doesn't cover it, oral reading assessments are also done in second grade, but obviously at a second grade readability level. Also, written comprehension questions, just like the one I showed you in first grade. These questions can go a bit deeper. This would be at a second grade level. Some of these questions can be inferential and require a little bit higher level thinking. Not too many. Okay, mostly this is second grade. We're mostly going to keep them literal at this point. Okay. And finally, I want to encourage you to make it fun. When I sit down to plan a literature unit, I want to plan some aspect of fun. What are the kids going to really enjoy? And so let me give you some examples. We want them to love reading. So try to add one special activity, a special prop, an extra special touch. And so let's take a look at kindergarten. I would love to be a kindergartner at Rockbridge Academy. They have so much fun. And I'm only going to give you a couple of examples. But as I was telling you about the Ferris wheel song, they make this really big. And they have carnival week at when they're learning all their short vowels. There's decorations. On Friday, a clown comes in. You can see they get their faces painted here. And they celebrate knowing the short vowels. And they can begin to read words. I mean, this is huge. If they know their short vowels, they can read a word, right? This is exciting stuff. For tea week, kindergartners not only learn the sound, but they have a teddy bear tea party. And they learn manners and etiquette as well. For L week, they have a luau. And they're really up there learning the hula. It's really fun. Oh, and actually the seniors come over. And it's a hoot because the seniors are doing the hula right along with the kindergartners. It's lots of fun. Daily snacks are coordinated with the phonics sound of the week. And there's a schedule. Parents sign up for 2 weeks of the school year to bring in a snack that corresponds with that sound of the week. And sometimes an artist will be focused upon, like Mary Cassatt for C Week, and they show lots of beautiful pictures. Daily Show and Tell has students bringing in an item that begins with that letter. One student, not everybody, one student brings in something for Show and Tell, and I had the honor of coming in at B Week this time. It was Mrs. Velp with her vacuum. It was really fun. I hadn't been able to do that before. It was fun. And then in first grade, when we study the little bear, students bring in bears from home, and they read to their bears. Here you see a picture of our students putting on a play, kind of like Matt Whitling's video. We put on the stone soup play, and that's lots of fun. Teaching first graders to dance is a little tricky. But I called in my kindergarten teacher to help me with that. They make frog and toad puppets, and they act out the story. During Blueberries for Sal, we celebrate with a blueberry snack. And in second grade, while reading Miss Nelson is missing, we have a visit from Miss Viola Swamp. She comes in with her big black wig and her ruler. And then during the dictionary unit, students have races to see who can find the word the quickest in their dictionary. But the trick to that is if they rip a page, they don't get to win. So make sure you say that. And then while reading Little House in the Big Woods, parents have brought in some Johnny Cake bread for the students to taste. And while reading The Biggest Bear, second graders have been known to go on a bear hunt, and they use their math skills to find hidden bears. While reading A New Coat for Anna, teachers have brought in looms and some sheep wool, and they demonstrate a little portion of the process of making a coat. Another idea is to consider setting up author displays. When we read Rosie's Walk, we set up other books by Pat Hutchins, like 10 Red Apples. Arnold Lobel has lots of great books. So when we read Frog and Toad, we're also setting up books like Owl at Home and Mouse Tales. And then we encourage them, if you loved this book, go to the library. There's so many other books. Oh, we read Madeline. And so they all want to get out all the books for Madeline. But be passionate about reading. Teaching children to read is quite humbling. We have a higher goal and a richer vision for our students. We desire for this generation and for the generations to come to become wise and to be able to discern various worldviews. We want them to recognize false philosophies and become godly leaders in our culture who will instruct future generations. And therefore, we must teach this generation to read words, to love words, and most of all, to read and love God's word. And who is that? Who is God's word? Jesus himself. Thank you so much for your time. I think we have a couple minutes. If I can entertain a couple questions, if you have any questions. Yes. Right. The question was, do we do small group instruction or is it merely large group instruction? For the most part, we do large group instruction. Sometimes we will pull a small group back and work with them on the floor. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, I think I want to make sure I'm understanding your question. So there's the oral reading assessment where we are grading them on precision and fluency and not on comprehension. Okay. So the written portion, when we're writing the answers to comprehension questions, yes, that is part of their reading grade. The final grade goes in the grade book. But the spelling and mechanics grade goes in the spelling portion of the grade book. Does that make sense? Okay, sure. Any other questions? Our class sizes vary from 15 to 18. Sometimes we have smaller classes of 12. I think it could. I do. I think so. They all have to be engaged. Maybe you could have an aide. That's what I would suggest. All right, I have time for one more question. Yes. This is mostly original to Rockbridge Academy. We do use the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write program in kindergarten, but our first and second grade reading programs are original, and our teachers have written the lessons. We have found that writing the lessons, you really need to make it your own. We're going to use Gregory's Seven Laws. We're going to make sure the biblical worldview is in our lesson plans. But when you write the lesson, you own it. Now, thankfully, we have been able to rest upon the teachers before us, so we can pull a lesson plan out that they have written and improve upon that. Sure. Yes, the phonics program is for sale at the Rockbridge table. All right, have a blessed day. Thank you for being here.